Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Bethann.
Good morning.
Whenever you hear about a woman bringing a charge of rape, you have to wonder if she knows what she's getting into.
Well, she is very often told many things about what she may be getting into.
Yeah.
And the reason we're talking about this, because obviously, as we know, for decades, accusations of sexual assault have chased Bill Cosby. And as the last year came to a close, one case brought an 11th-hour indictment before that 12-year statute of limitations expired. Now, celebrity aside, though, we wondered how tough it is to bring a case of rape and if many of the issues that victims have faced in past are still barriers. Ken Lawson teaches criminal procedure, criminal law, and evidence, among other things, at the William S. Richardson School of Law at UH, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chris and Bethann.
In looking at this case and the way it came about, I mean, literally at the 11th hour of the 11th hour, is this a signal that the prosecution really believes that it has enough evidence to be able to get Bill Cosby after all of these years when we've heard accusations now for decades?
I think that the public perception that Bill Cosby, we know where there's smoke, there's fire, that he's probably committed this offense along with all the other allegations. I think that this prosecutor obviously believes he has enough evidence to bring the charge and get a conviction. And he may not be that far off. These are tough cases, but if the reputation is that you've been doing this for decades and there's other evidence to prove you've been doing it for decades, it's not far off. But getting back to your original point, these are hard cases, especially if a victim doesn't come forward immediately. And many victims don't come forward immediately for a lot of reasons. One, embarrassment. Sometimes they feel like it's their fault when it's not. And other reasons. So when there's no physical evidence, right, of any sexual encounter, no eyewitnesses to right, it's just your word against the other person's word. These are tough cases to bring.
In this he said, she said situation, though, there are obviously other parts to this, including the factor of drugs. How do you assess that when you're talking about someone who was voluntarily in someone else's home, who believed that he was a friend, a mentor, those words have been used, and, you know, is maybe sitting down for a friendly drink and maybe it sort of slips into, well, let's do something else.
Well, that and the perception, you know, when you talk about whether or not a victim gave consent, you know, from dating in high school all the way up to however old we get, you never really say, you know, do I have your consent to have sex with you? There's certain, you know, there's just certain things that happen. You know, I sit closer to you. You come closer to me. I put my hand on your knee. You start rubbing my, you know, and one thing leads to another. And so most individuals will say, well, you know, you were going over to his house. You knew he was married. You started drinking with him. What else did you expect, right? And so what the victim is saying is, hey, you know, I didn't expect this. But the perception could be, and another reason why victims don't come forward is because who's going to believe them? Why else would you be there? And that's why some of them, even though they're true victims, believe it's their fault when it's not.
And that has nothing to do with the idea of a rape shield that would bring in any of their past behaviors. This is simply looking at this one isolated instance of why were you there?
This is a totally separate issue. Right, go back to the Mike Tyson trial. Remember, I mean, Mike Tyson's lawyer was a tax lawyer, and but even then, their defense was, "What else would you be going in Mike Tyson's hotel room for at midnight or whatever time you know that she went there?" And it's going to be the same type of defense here with Cosby. You knew he was married. Why'd you go over there? Were you trying to advance your career, et cetera? And now she's got to deal with all that. As opposed to saying, well, you know what? He asked me to come over. I went over there. I had a couple of drinks. I mean, you know, this is nothing unusual. Next thing I know, I'm passed out.
If it were not Bill Cosby that we were talking about, would this case be different?
It would still be a tough case to bring because of all the years that have gone by, right? And so when you have no physical evidence, did you go home and tell anybody what happened? Well, I told somebody 6 months later. So when you don't, it's just your word against the defendant's word. they're tough cases to bring. I think what helps in this case is you have so many other allegations. Now, whether or not those allegations get into this trial is going to be up to the trial judge because, you know, there's rules of evidence that says, look, just because you may have done certain things in the past, those acts can't be used to show that you did it this time. We want you to be tried on the evidence that's coming right now from this victim and not on the other, not on your past. But there's other ways to get that evidence in.
So what are those ways to make that evidence admissible?
If he says, well, look, you know what, I don't use Quaaludes, or another way is to show identity, that there's something unique about this individual, this defendant. He does something unique each time he commits this crime, that we can show other incidents where he's used the Quaaludes, used his power, used his prestige to lure women in, and then gives them a drink along with pills, and then molest them. If we can show that this is unique to his, this is his MO, his modus operandi, right?
His pattern.
Right, his pattern. Then I can bring it in because I'm not using it to show that because he did it in the past, he did it now. I'm using it to show that this is unique to him. This is like a fingerprint, right? It's so unique to him that we're allowed to bring this evidence in against him.
But a lot of people might say, okay, but the idea of luring a woman to, I mean, maybe a woman who feels less powerful than a man who might be a manager or might be in another position that she sees as being higher than hers, and, you know, offering drinks or offering drugs or anything else might fall into that same type of category as a pattern.
If it was one or two people coming forth with these accusations, then you might have a good point. But when it's like 30-some-odd women saying that this has happened over, you know, decades.
Well, that's unique to Bill Cosby. But I'm saying if this were just an average guy, would it be the same thing?
No. I think it would be harder to get that evidence in. I think it would be harder to get. So actually his fame, his being Bill Cosby, his fame is actually now used against him, right? Because once the allegations become public, more victims come forward. Before I started teaching, I practiced law for 20 years. I did a lot of high-profile cases. And anytime someone who committed a crime like this, a sex crime, was in their, it became newsworthy. If there were other victims, they came forward once it became newsworthy.
The deposition that was unsealed obviously seemed to help this case move along. Do you expect that there might be anything else that will come out of the woodwork?
Well, that deposition was key because it linked, it has Bill admitting to using the Quaaludes. Now, whether you use them for sex or not, now if I'm the prosecutor, I got you at least one step closer to the allegations that these women are bringing, that they were somehow drugged with Quaaludes. Now I got you admitting that at some point you got them illegally from a doctor. And you weren't taking them yourself. You got them for other people. So I think that's strong evidence.
As you look into this next year when we're going to see this case come to trial, and you say it's going to be very, very difficult, not to put you on the spot and prognosticate, but do you think that because of everything that you've just said, that there might very well be a conviction? As righteous of a case as Bill Cosby's lawyers say they have against it?
I think you're far, far away from a conviction. I think you're far, far away from a conviction, real far.
Which will certainly make Bill Cosby's lawyers quite happy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what they're saying, too.
Right, and we don't know what evidence is going to come out. Remember, the O.J. Simpson case started, and then other evidence started coming out after the case started, so we have no idea.
Which is why I was asking you, do you expect that, you know, this is going to bring other things out of the woodwork?
Oh, yeah.
That we haven't even seen yet, despite the fact that it's been, you know, months since we've been talking
absolutely
about that deposition.
Absolutely. Evidence is going to, yeah, absolutely. I would not be surprised. That's what makes it fun.
Well, depends on what side of the table you're on. Thanks very much, Ken. Ken Lawson is an associate faculty specialist at the William S. Richardson School of Law. He teaches criminal procedure, criminal law, professional responsibility, evidence, and the business of law practice. You're listening to The Conversation on statewide, member-supported HPR2. It's now 8:16, almost exactly, coming up, nurturing and challenging Maui's artists. First, your backyard quiz.
Unihoa, kaho'olabe. Oha ngaiti.